Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of Zion's Finest. This is a special episode. 1 year ago yesterday, we started the podcast, which I think is just absolutely crazy. JK and I recorded this episode last night. We're going to be talking about French Nationals, giving some general thoughts on the meta. We have obviously been skirmishing and practicing a lot, especially focused around Spectre Cell. And we've done some podcasts. We've been talking about that. This episode, we are going to talk a little bit about Spectre Cell, but spoiler alert, no Spectre Cell list made the top 8 at French Nationals, which is crazy because one of the Spectre Cell lists who came in at 10th place was being run by the Spanish Nationals champion, actually, and he was running Spectre Cell. So that tells you something. I think he won Spanish Nationals with Spectre Cell, if my memory is correct. Anyway, that tells you something kind of crazy about French Nationals, and we're going to be going through that. I cannot believe it's very crazy to me that we started the podcast a year ago. When we started the podcast, it was primarily like I just had all of these thoughts about like competitive Imperial Assault that I wanted to get out the door. And it just seemed like there was just like this, all this material that there was too much material and not enough time. And it has been incredible watching the community develop and grow over the past year. I feel like before we started the podcast, we had the Slack channel going, but it was mostly just us, just our local Utah community, mainly because we weren't super active on the forums. And so we just didn't have like a way to engage more broadly. But then as we started the podcast and the community started focusing a little bit more around the Slack channel, it just became this incredible engine of growth. And it's awesome. I think right now we're pretty close to 250 members on the Slack chat, which is amazing. There is always great discussions. I mean, every time there's something like French Nationals, there's kind of a flurry of conversation. I expect that as regionals are heating up, there's going to be more discussion. It's kind of, I feel like I'm a little bit disappointed in FFG in that the current Spectre or the current regional challenge is figuring out Spectre Cell. It felt like last year's regionals, it was much more dynamic. I say that though, there's a little bit of like hindsight bias, right? Like, Last year, we didn't know how good IG was, like in our local community in Utah, but we knew that obviously Hunters were amazing. And so it's always been, until Spectre Cell came out, about solving the Hunter problem, right? Solving the IG problem. Even when Vader was at the height of his dominance, you know, obviously you had to have a solution for Vader, but most everyone's solution for Vader was Hunters. And if you weren't going to run Vader or Hunters, then it was a very tough problem to solve. And obviously people approached it from a lot of different angles. So I still feel like I wish that there was a little bit more to crack in terms of the current regional season, but it's going to be very, very awesome to see how things shake out, especially because so soon after regionals, we're going to be hitting into Worlds. But before we start the podcast, I just want to tell everyone, thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. Thank you for engaging in the Slack channel. Even if sometimes you annoy me, Hassan, it's very tough to convey how deep an impression what we've been able to grow together has made on me. It's just incredible. And I don't want to get too sappy about it or anything, so I won't get too sappy, but I just want to say thank you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. And thank you for helping us grow Imperial Assault, the game that we love so much. Okay, let's turn it over to JK. Okay, I am now joined by JK. What JK is going to do is he's going to give us a rundown of the top 8 of French Nationals, and then we're going to talk about it. Take it away, JK.
Okay, so first off, I'm just going to run through the list. First one, the winning list is Alfonso, I'm going to butcher the last name, Ghislieri, I assume. So he ran Han E-Rangers, the standard list, which is Han E-Rangers, Hera, Gideon, R2, 3PO, two regular smugglers and Rebel High Command.
This is the list that Greg Monson was runner-up with at Worlds last year. Yep. Or this year.
Yeah, so yeah. So nothing new in there at all. As we go through, you're going to notice there's not a lot of new stuff per se.
Alfonso's going to be on the podcast next week, and he's going to give us a little bit of a rundown in terms of how he handled Spectre, like what his matchups were, because I'm really interested to hear that. But anyway, keep going, JK.
Yeah, there's a lot of Spectre, just not in the top 8. Yep. So next was IG Hondo. Hondo was the one figure that kind of popped up a couple times.
Yeah.
IG Hondo, Onar Jabba, Greedo, Ijawa, 3PO Black Market. So is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 activations?
Okay.
So yeah, really, it's interesting. It's a little bit more firepower with Onar.
Yeah.
No, like no full care package, so there's no Gideon.
Yes.
There's no Hera.
Yep.
But you honestly, like, you have so many, you have so much three dice power in it already with Hondo and Onar.
Yeah.
And then IG doing IG things. So that guest list is really good without needing to be focused on it. And you have just four massive guns. Oh, I guess you have Jabba. Sorry.
Yeah.
So
oh,
Jabba
that's
does
right.
focus around.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you're just going to keep Greedo focused, right? So he's, as he goes and destroys things. And that's also, that list was ran by Gil, I have no idea how you say your name. Gil Alves de Oliveira. He was top 16 at Worlds this last year.
Yeah. Man, we're going to butcher so many,
brace yourselves,
today.
People.
Us Utah Hicks are here.
Oh, dang good.
Shoot, son. Okay, the next is the classic points manipulation list. The new, it's a little different. Sabine, Ikwe.
Yep.
Jabba, Hondo, Greedo, Ijawa, R2, 3PO, and then Devious. This is Renbe Javier. I like this list. I like the Weequay version.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go back and forth with Weequay's and Onar because I just think Onar is such a beast.
Yes.
But yeah, obviously this works, and points are points are points. Like, it'll be interesting to see how this list does once Lothal gets rotated in, because
that's true.
There's a lot of points to be got.
Yeah.
But it's so big that it's, like, there's no vacuum. There's no, on Mos Eisley, there's the pickup mission, and you just don't have that anymore.
Yeah. But the list still has Sabine, right? And the Spire, so that...
Yeah, you know. Sabine and Hondo and Jabba, and so... You're still only a handful, like, with that impress in your heads, realistically, you can get, you know, with two kills, you can easily have 14 points.
Yeah.
With just two kills, like, two meaningless kills.
Yeah, good point.
Like, yeah, not even with a kills count.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. Next is the world's, IG, a set of one week way. Onar, Jabba, Greedo, Ijawa, 3PO. So this is really close to Gil's list.
Yeah.
It just has Weequay instead of Hondo.
Mm.
So just that little difference. It's interesting. I wonder... I mean, I think we're still scratching the surface on Hondo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because he's good... But there's limitations to him. He's not the sniper that Weequay's are.
Yeah.
And so...
And he's not a hunter, right? So
he's not a hunter.
He's got high damage, but it's like static high damage, right?
Yeah, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yep.
And, I mean, realistically, he's going to roll pretty good all the time, but if you don't give him the +2 damage, which there's a lot to discuss on that, let alone, but if you don't give him the +2 damage, he has a chance to do, you know... 2-3 against a black die if you're not rolling very well.
Yeah.
So the next is Vader Palp Thrawn with 1 E-Death Trooper, 3 regular officers, Zillow, Doubt, and Rule by Fear. Love this list.
Yep.
You know, I've been playing some version of it for a minute or two ever since we got Lethal to drop. Thrawn's a beast.
Yep.
Getting up to... Because he has 7 acts. It's real good. We don't have a who ran this one.
Nope.
Like we talked about in the last time I was on, it'll be interesting to see if this list survives Lethal, because you have just no, there's no range.
Yeah,
on this
there's
list
there's
all.
No
you th- have to, like,
yeah, there's no threat even of range, right?
Yep.
So
yeah, and so you're losing your best map to gain probably your worst map.
Yeah.
Like, because right now, I mean, you could probably make an argument for whatever that middle map is. I can't think of it now. With
Tarkin.
The weapons,
yeah,
yeah, Tarkin. You could make an argument that Tarkin is really good for Vader.
Yes,
but Mos Eisley was so good because you could get right up next to people. You could open a door. You can take an end around swing, and you're losing that.
Yeah.
Like Lethal, you have to run clear across, and Lethal big.
Yeah, very big.
Number 6, we don't have the full list. We know it's IG, Weequay, Jabba. So I'm assuming it's some kind of mix between 2 and 4 with Greedo, Ijawa, 3PO. Apparently Europeans love that. Love the no Gideon pullover. So, I mean, they did bring Jabba last year. Like
it's
they
true.
They kept Jabba alive while Americans realistically kept written him off.
Yeah.
So it's not shocking, but it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Next is Han. This is like, these new next two lists are both amazing.
They're so awesome.
So next one is Han, CT, Kotoon, and then the full Rebel Care Package Plus. So Hera, Gideon, R2, C-3PO, and two Rebel Smugglers. So you're 1, 2, 3, 4.
Nine activations.
Nine activations.
I love it.
You're getting your last go. You're passing around power tokens. So CT gets to barrage with kind of with freedom.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, CT and Kotoon next to each other.
Yep.
You have, you know, three triple dice attackers.
Yep.
I mean, three and a half with Hera.
Yeah.
You have points grabbing. You have a lot of, like...
I love this list.
Yeah.
I think it is a very, very clever list. And, I mean, like, you're never going to worry about dodges. I tried a variation of this list against Scott when, like, we were first testing with Lothal coming out. And I got worked by Spectre Cell. Like, it just didn't matter what I was doing. But clearly, I had not optimized it yet. And I love this. Like, I love what they were able to do with this.
Yeah, like, three dice attack. And they're all, I mean, you're green and blue on all of them. It's not like you're rolling...
No yellows.
You know, green, yellow or something like that. Yeah. Which is, ironically, like, the strongest attack right now is Stupid Ezra.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But they're like, you know, green, blue, and blue, and blue, green. And so, it's... Yeah, they're powerful attacks. You know, Han... the thing I like about this list is Han can go after a big figure and he can go punch someone in the face.
Yep.
CT and Kotoon can crowd control.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Greedo runs up. You're not worried about Han having to take this big shot. You can let Kotoon shoot
him. Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, E-Jawas, like, you can afford to sacrifice attacks because Han is doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
So... and then the next one, which is just completely bonkers, is Drakata,
yes.
Chewie with a fix, Ahsoka,
yeah,
and then Hera, Gideon, C-3PO, R2-D2, and Heroic Effort. So the last list was run by Wilfred Florenza. This one is Johan Becker.
Yeah.
This one is crazy.
I love it. It's such a cool list.
Well, it's so cool because... So the thing about Chewie is you have to have other people go in front of Chewie to die.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka is like perfect.
So
to die.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause you have to kill her.
Yeah.
Like you can't just let her run free or she's going to just destroy you.
Yeah. She'll just,
but then
at the
same
the
time
line.
You're just cruising up with Chewie and Drakata.
Yep.
And so then you're like, well, I have to kill Chewie.
Yeah.
But then Drakata is still coming at you, and focused Drakata late game is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is a fascinating list. Like, it's a little short on attacks, versus everything else, because you have no double attackers in here.
Yeah.
But, man, if you get it going, and if... I'm sure Johan has optimized this fairly well.
Yeah.
But, man, it can do some damage.
You know what I'm wondering? So... We've now done the top eight. We can do a little bit of a breakdown on like what surprises us and what doesn't. But I want to say one thing about this Johan's list is that I wonder if he was running, because when I saw this list, the first thing I thought is I wonder if he's running Slippery Target, right? Because if he's running Slippery Target, that gives Chewbacca and Ahsoka even more survivability versus Spectre, right? Then like you've got like a legitimate Spectre killing list as long as you can keep Drakata away from Ezra, right? And man, that's a cool list.
Yeah, and Chewie gets your on the lam, and so you can put him out there, get him out. It's a little short on points on objective control.
Yeah,
but you can kill everything that's going to get objectives. Like
you're
one-shotting everything that's not four cost.
Yeah,
or that's bigger than four cost. Like you're killing Greedo.
Yep,
you're killing. Equays, you're killing Rangers, like you're just one-shotting all of those things.
Yep.
Like pretty much anything that has 7 health or left, you're probably killing it.
Yep. Man, that is a really, really interesting list. I love it. I mean, 7 activations is a little worrisome. That's like my biggest worry with these. I think that's actually where most Rebel lists are gonna settle. Is I think Rebel Hero lists are actually gonna settle like right where this Drakata Chewie list is. Like I could easily see someone maybe not running Ahsoka, putting Han instead of Chewie in, and then, you know, something, I don't know, like CT or something else, right? And then you can have either a smuggler, or you can put doubt and extra armor in or something like that. But I think a lot of these rebel hero lists are going to sit themselves at 7 activations because it puts them over Spectre Cell, and most scum lists appear to be around the 7 activation count as well.
Yeah, they're falling into that area where you don't need it. You don't need 8 anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the big thing about 8 last one was you needed to beat the double weak ways.
Yep.
And now you can just do it with 8, or you can just do it with 7, because realistically double equays are gone because they just die.
Yeah, they just die. Yeah.
They get rushed into and they just die.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting because it changes the meta. Like, it changes what people can do, because suddenly you're no longer looking at, okay, well, I need to make sure to get to 9, so I need to throw in 2 smugglers. And so 4 points opens up.
Yeah.
And with 4 points opening up, you know, you can just do tons of different stuff, whether that's upgrading, like changing R2 to, you know, R2 becomes Rebel High Command and 2 smugglers become Jared or Jin or whatever.
Yeah.
There's options.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. It's a really interesting byproduct of that six cost or 6 Spectre Cell, 6 around Spectre Cell.
Yeah. How it just, like, has pulled the countdown. Okay.
Yeah.
So before we talk about the fact that no Spectre Cell made the top 8, what is the thing that surprised you the most about the top 8?
The lack of doubt.
Okay.
Like, what is it? 1?
Well,
I legitimately think the only
melee list was running doubt, right? The Vader palp list. So, yeah. I mean, it was running Zillow, Doubt, and Rule by Fear, as opposed to Unshakeable, right? I wonder who that was running that list, but that is, it's interesting that, like, they weren't running Unshakeable, although I wouldn't be surprised if they had some parting blows in hand, but they relied on combos like you've been playing, right? Where you've got Price of Glory and other things, but I don't know. Yeah. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that, like, Doubt isn't incredibly game breaking in terms of if one person brought doubt, it's over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if just the meta in Europe has kind of, like, people knew that they weren't going to bring doubt, or people just were like, we're just going to bring this anyway, and who cares if they bring doubt, and they've just kind of played through it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, like, you know, Han Rangers, we had talked about just being a list that just wasn't going to cut it anymore because it just doesn't have the firepower. Like, you have to take out 4 figures, and you only have a certain amount of card economy and focus economy that you can get with.
Yeah.
But still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I think just the staying power of IG.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I think Europeans played IG before.
Yes.
Americans a little bit last year, if I remember right.
I think you are right.
And, it's just... just brutal. Like he's still there, he's not going anywhere. You're gonna have to think to yourself, like, every game every tournament you go to, every place you go to, you're just gonna have to think, what what's my answer for IG? How can I, like, what can I do to blunt his onslaught that's eventually gonna come? Can I rush him? Can I not rush him? And it's gonna be interesting to see what he does against Spectre Cell if it becomes a thing where it's IG versus Spectre Cell in the long run.
Yeah. And so you know, people say that, I'm not sold on this, but people say that IG is going to be really good on Lethal, and I think he will be good on Lethal. I don't think he's good enough on Lethal to compensate for how good Sabine is on Lethal, but maybe he, like, minimizes the advantage a little bit just because he is so mobile, right? 7, his 7 speed means that most figures are not going to be able to, like, most figures can't threaten him as well as he can threaten them at range and from so far away. So that's, it's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out. But yeah, you're right. IG was in 3 of the top 8 lists. So
I think, like, I mean, outside of the 2 kind of unique lists with CT, Kotoon, and Chewie and Drakata, but like, it's, you know, IG just, he's good. Like, he's such a solid figure, and even his blue-blue-green can do damage to people.
Yep.
And in Lethal, it's coming up. If he can get damage into some Spectres as they make their approach and forces them to make the approach to him, and it'll be interesting to see how the objective game plays in there. But, yeah, Lethal... I think he's going to be a good Lethal. Spectre Cell is just stupid on Lethal.
Yeah.
Though, but.
Yes. Spectre Cell is dumb on Lethal. There was one thing I was going to say about that. Oh, yeah. There were four Jabbas in the top eight. Europe has just got like a strange, scum-loving meta. I mean, like, there is just, like, nothing else to say about that. They have been committed to Jabba forever. And he's making four of the top eight lists at French Nationals. I mean, that really, really surprises me, especially in the age of Spectre, right? Like, you'd think that with Spectre, you need, like, all hands on deck to get every shot off you can because you have got to kill people right before you fall too far behind on material. And I guess Jabba gives you an extra attack, but I don't know, man. That's worrisome to me.
Well, I mean, that's the I don't want to say the downside of Spectre or the negative of Spectre, whatever it is. But like, if you can kill, like, if IG can get a double tap in, there's a chance he can kill Sabine, which, you know, on most areas, like taking Lethal out of it. He can probably kill Sabine. And there's a chance he can kill Ezra, even with the stupid amount of blocks.
Yeah.
And then if he can get, like, and if he doesn't, then, yeah, Jabba has a third attack that he can get in there, and he can finish him off. Because, you know, most things in Spectre are not going to kill IG in one activation. Even an Ezra Pummel is only, it's going to do, it'll probably do 13 damage and bring him pretty close, but he's going to at least be alive for a shot.
Yeah.
And he can just sit there and hide. And then as soon as Blaze hits and action economy has changed, he's going to be able to run through him.
Yeah.
So.
I do think I think that the IG players are going to have to learn, like how everybody who's not an IG player has had to learn how to play around Blaze. I think IG players are going to have to learn to play around the Spectre Cell tempo swings, because even though IG has got the firepower to bring down Spectre, I actually think that, like, that is a really risky matchup for him, right? Because if Ezra's got on the lamb, it doesn't matter, right? Like, all the things that they've got in order to pull off their swings, they've got lots of ways to do things like Blaze, right, and kill IG before it matters, right, or before, like, he's able to get value out. So, you know, if you lose IG before you've killed the Spectre Cell, it's game over, right? Spectre Cell. So I don't know, that's gonna be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep.
But
yeah,
awesome. All right, well, now let's talk about, like, the massive elephant in the room, which is that no Spectre Cell made top eight. I mean, like, what is going on with that?
I don't know. Like, I mean, so someone said that they took 10th. So, which means they had probably the same record as number 5. Because I think normally in these 5 through 12 are pretty similar.
Yeah,
in
that's
terms
true.
Of their record.
Greg Monson, the runner up at Worlds, was 9th running Han Rangers. And he was 4-2, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And so, yeah, I'd assume there's. Because I don't know if this is. Because this is probably not in order. Like. Because Alfonso won the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was also the one seed.
I don't know that. I don't think we have that info yet.
Yeah, so, you know, there's probably 1-6-0. There's probably 3 5-1s, and then, yeah, there's probably a slew of 4-2s. There may be another 1 or 2 5-1s, but
yeah,
even still. I don't know if people have everyone overly teched for Spectre Cell, and that's why you get stuff like No Doubt.
Yeah.
Because Doubt does nothing.
Yeah,
and
great point.
People are just like, look, because realistically, everything outside of Spectre Cell is just going to fall to itself. Like,
yeah,
like, you know what Han Rangers brings.
Yep.
You know what IG brings.
Yep.
It's just like, what little things can I do to tech against Spectre Cell?
Yep.
And so if people are doing that, then everything turns into an equal playing field, assuming you can beat Spectre.
Yeah.
That's still a big ask. And, you know, we don't know, like, which good players were playing Spectre, if any good players were playing Spectre.
No, we do know. So Greg said that previous regional winners were running Spectre Cell, right? So it was not like,
it wasn't people just walking in off the street going,
exactly.
Oh, Spectre Cell.
Yeah, I started playing Spectre Cell and turns out they're pretty good. No, like, it was legitimate. Yeah, it was very, Greg made it clear that it was not just like a fluke or anything like that, that none made top eight. He said it was good players who was running it. They didn't make top eight. However, it's a good point that you're bringing up, that they probably did have that number, the 10th place, probably had the exact same Swiss score as some of these other guys, just probably didn't, and obviously did not have as good of a strength of schedule. So that is important to know. Yeah. It's still interesting though, right? That like it was it was not the 6-0, right? Or the one of the 5-1s. So
yeah, the doom and gloom isn't here as much as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, how long has IG been, like, IG's been a thing for well over a year.
Yep. Year and a half.
Rangers has been a thing for a year.
Yep.
Like, and probably right around a year is when, you know, Han Rangers came out. I mean, Vader Palp Throne is new.
Yes.
But, there's nothing new about Vader.
Yeah.
And even, like, Drock, Chewie, and Ahsoka, none of those things are new.
Nope.
And so there may be a still comfort of, like, you know, I don't think I've run Spectre on Mos Eisley at all.
Really?
And so there may also be some rust, not rust, but inexperience with some of these lists, because you're trying to get reps in on... You're trying to get reps in on Lethal because you're assuming it's coming.
Yep.
And I mean, maybe that's just our inexperience and our, you know, stupidity, but
yeah.
But you're trying to get reps in on Tarkin because you're still learning Tarkin.
Yeah.
You're trying to get reps in on Uskru because it's still weird. Just it's always going to be weird.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just go, I'll figure it, you know, Mos Eisley will figure it out. It's close range. It helps us out. But if you get Spectre with the pickup crates mission, it's going to be hard to win with Spectre because you don't have objective grabbers.
Yeah.
And so if you run into one or two bad matchups where they have point getters and they can get 16 points of objectives and you can get nothing, then you're gonna fall into some rough territory, and it may be something you haven't practiced as much, because even though we are used to it, like, you know, I can draw out Mos Eisley probably in my sleep.
Yeah.
But I've also haven't played it, and so
with there's Spectre just a little bit
of different thinking. Yeah, with Spectre Cell.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's an interesting point. I also think I'm also positive that people who are serious about prepping for nationals and like major tournaments are practicing all of their games with Spectre Cell. I mean, like all of our skirmishing is one of us is playing Spectre Cell, right? So, yeah. Or most, it's like,
what do you want to play?
Yeah, what do you want to play? Who's going to play Spectre Cell? Okay. And then the other person will play whatever they're going to play. And so I'll bet you that. That has been a lot like this. I'll bet the Han Rangers list was very much planned for, like, they were playing. I'm sure Alfonso's practiced that matchup versus Spectre Cell at least enough to like know exactly what he needs to do in order to win the game. Because Greg brought up some really good points. He has given an awesome write up on the Slack in terms of like how it went and just like his general thoughts on the list. And his point is that Spectre Cell, Spectre Cell's weakness, right, is that it needs to close, right? Now, it's also really good at closing, but Han, like the beauty of these Han Rangers lists is that they excel at taking out things that need to close, right? Because they've got the tempo swings that they've got, and so our assumption was that they couldn't pull off enough material before, you know, Spectre Cell was in there grilling and killing him, but clearly Alfonso was able to figure that out. So, and on Mos Eisley, which is a very tight map for them, right? Because even though, like, Spectre Cell might not be amazing at the objective game on Mos Eisley, it's a small map, it's compressed, and man, Ezra and Kanan are just going to be in your grill super fast, so.
Yeah. And, like, the Rangers are still, there's still three of them. When they're focused, you're still rolling blue, blue, green. You're getting a Pierce. You're probably getting two Pierces with a +2 damage and Hunter cards. And so, you know, even one focused Ranger, like if you focus Han, even one focused Ranger and then two other Rangers with a Pierce have a pretty decent shot. I don't know what the numbers are. Maybe I should run them. Of taking down someone like Ezra.
Yeah.
Who, if they don't roll a dodge, they don't have on the lamb. And you play an assassinator, whatever.
Yeah,
your chances are coming down a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like there's still three fairly hard hitting figures.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. So you have a very low chance without any cards. You're doing you're expecting about 6%, about 6 damage. That being said, a lot of that is due to the dodge.
Hmm.
But.
In the three attacks, you're expecting 6 damage?
Yeah, with with one focused attack.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that realistically, you know, we've talked about, we've talked many times on the podcast about who you focus in these Han Ranger lists. And I think with Versus Spectre, you've got to focus your Rangers, right? Because they're the ones who are going to be able to deliver the high swing of assassinate, high-end reflexes, right? Which Han can't do. Han hits like a truck, but like Han hits like a truck, and if they dodge, then you're in a lot of trouble, right? Whereas Rangers can at least mitigate some of that risk a little bit. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I'm really excited to get Alfonso on, see what he has to say.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that being the case, we are getting ready to jump into regionals. They're starting this weekend. We've got three in the US, one in the UK, and I think one in Australia. Ours is, we're not having ours till January 5th. We're going to have a regionals prep tournament on December 15th, where we are going to, I think it's going to be our, kind of our final shakedown in terms of seeing what everyone's going to run, and then we'll just be grinding out games with those until the regional tournament. But what I want to do now, JK, is just do a quick survey in terms of, give me your thoughts on what has surprised you the most about, so we started the podcast a year ago today, which is insane. In that time, what has surprised you the most about the meta, like in terms of like the changing, like the changing state of the game? Like, what surprised you the most?
What surprised me? Let's see. I think the consistency of what has happened over the last year is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, the cream of the crop has just stayed there.
Yep.
You know, we talked about last time that Vader may drop out.
With Lethal.
Just with Lethal, just because it's so big.
Yeah.
But realistically, we're going to see the same stuff that we saw last year.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to be surprised when IG, you know, some IG Weequay list is a regional winner, is a top, you know, is makes it to the top X at Worlds.
Yeah.
Like, these things are going to be solid
Yeah.
One of the surprises that have come out of nowhere is, I you know, for Americans, it's certainly Jabba.
Yeah.
Because, again, Jabba, like, last year at this time, we legitimately were like, Jabba is trash.
Yeah.
Like,
garbage tier.
He just does not have what it takes to make up what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you were just able to do enough stuff around him that it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, Jabba is good because there's a lot of reasons why Jabba is good. Like, because there's the new points manipulation list, which I think is a surprise.
Yep.
You know, it helps that all these new things came out, but that's the general surprises I have. One is the consistency, is then two is just like Jabba. Because realistically, other than that, I mean, it'd kind of be interesting to go back, and maybe I will go back and listen to the first/second episode and see where we were, what we were thinking, but. You know, outside of Weequay's falling off just because of their health, there's not a lot of troop attrition, maybe is the term, of like figures just becoming irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is an interesting point. It's kind of it kind of bums me out a teensy bit, right, that like we're playing a very similar game as we were a year ago. Obviously obviously it's different, but you look at French Nationals and you think this is almost a list that could have come out, like, this is a top eight that could have been like a year ago, right? Like a year ago, this thing could have happened and we'd all be like, oh, that's interesting, right? Like, why didn't IG win, I guess would be our, like, the main thing that we were thinking about. But yeah, a year ago, we hadn't quite figured out IG. It wasn't until, I think it was in like late December, January, when the Texas guy started talking about IG, and we were like, what? Who? IG? Come on. He doesn't have a reroll, right? Like, that's kind of crazy. And then we saw him in action, and we were like, oh, yeah, okay, turns out IG's stupid good. But
I mean, 1 year ago, we didn't even have, like, Vader wasn't even a thing, really.
I mean, what's it called? Heart of the Empire was released, I think, October 12th.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, people were running Vader. Like, Scott was running Vader the day the box came out. But
right.
Yeah, we had not figured him out.
Because when we went to that first regional, which was about 2 weeks from today or whatever it was. And Paul Grasser ran it.
Yeah.
And just wiped the floor with us because we were just not ready for Vader. And ironically, Vader Pal.
Yeah.
Which gave way to Unshakable Vader.
Yep.
But yeah, we were not prepared for that.
Yeah.
But
no.
Yeah.
I
just counted and there's five, depending on what the sixth list was, there was only five figures from Lothal in the top eight.
So that would be the Elite Death Trooper, Thrawn, CT, what else?
Hondo.
Sabine, of course.
Yeah.
There's
only one Sabine, though.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I think that once once Lothal is released into the tournament scene, I think all of these lists are going to drop somebody in favor of Sabine. Just because she's so very good. I also think we're going to lose Devious Scheme, honestly, because you want to have initiative with Sabine so you can take the Spire if you're playing versus a Sabine. So if you're playing like a scum list, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very, very interesting.
Yeah. I do, like... Going back to your thoughts, I think it's not unhealthy that we're playing the same stuff, because it would be really nice if FFG had made stuff usable earlier and we were now tinkering with things instead of the issue is there's basically this line in the sand that's Jabba's Realm.
Yeah.
And Jabba's Realm is everything good and everything pre-Jabba's Realm is bad.
Yeah. Fair.
Like
that's a great point.
And so like, I get where you're coming from and I get that it's not great that we just have the same stuff.
Yeah.
But it's nice that instead of full meta shifts because of the box came out, although Spectre Cell, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But it's nice that we can, you know, I think a healthy meta for the game is a list and sprinklings of different pieces.
Yeah.
Which is what we have mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean... In all honesty, the world's meta, the 2018 world's meta, has got to have been one of the healthiest metas. And I played X-Wing, like it was so much healthier than the X-Wing meta has ever been, honestly. I mean, like, I don't know of another game. Maybe Destiny. I mean, Destiny has had a pretty diverse meta. It's not clear like how its meta is going to be shaking out with how good Snoke is, but even Destiny, I do not think had the same amount of just incredible diversity that the 2018 Worlds tournament had. So, and honestly, if like all that happens is that there is this sprinkling of Lothal units into those archetypes and then Spectre Cell, right? So we get like another archetype and then sprinklings of other units. That's not the worst thing in the world. Like I would like more sprinkling, right? Like a little bit stronger diversity. I'd really like, because I feel like DT and Brett Kelly's IG list was just straight up Hunter Killam lists, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like these Scum Pointers lists are their own archetype. And it's awesome that they're like making their way into the meta, right? Even this like IG Hondo Onar Jabba Greedo list, that's still very much a like hunters are going to punch you in the face list. But there is like an element to like point manipulation there. Whereas Javier's Sabine Ikwe Jabba Hondo Greedo list, right? Like that's straight up. That's like straight up point manipulation in terms of, they've still got hunters, but they've got lots of ways to move those points around. And so it's going to be awesome if that's actually where we end up in the next like 4 months, right? Like before Worlds at the end of March, if where we end up is Spectre Cell is a dominant thing or it's a dominant archetype, right? But we've still got these other archetypes, including this new Scum archetype.
Yeah. It would be nice that we could get to a point where we were not worried enough about Spectre Cell that people could just run Spectre Cell.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now it's just like, oh, someone's running Spectre Cell. Well, cool. Like, that guy's lame.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to build lists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if we can get to a point where it's just like, you know, I'm, like, I actually really feel confident that this, like, that my meta, where we are, that Spectre Cell is just like the best matchup, so I'm going to run it here. But at the same time, I think there's going to be other metas out there where Spectre Cell may not be the best thing, and I need to run this instead. And so, like, that's really what we want is, and I mean, it would be great because realistically, at Worlds, there was three lists. There was Unshakable Vader, there was, you know, the Worlds list of, you know, there was, IG Ikwe list, and there was Han Rangers with, you know, like the box and, what Ryan's Dripling's list mixed in.
Yeah.
And there was one or two points lists in there as well, but the majority of lists were one of those three.
Yeah.
And so it'd be nice if it becomes, hey, even if it becomes one of those five, like,
yeah,
we now have five lists. Granted, again, we are worried about Vader once Lethal drops, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, who knows? Maybe something else will come out of Empire that we're just not expecting.
Yeah.
Although, again, like, unless it's something like Sentry droids who can have sniping power, I'm not sure what's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sentry droids, I hold out hope for them. And Joey Galashevsky, is that how you say your last name, Joey? That's his list that he's been running in the Vassal tournament. And Man Alive, like, sentries, double sentries staring down their barrels at you is pretty intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
And he had Thrawn with him, right? And so I feel like that there is play there, right? And he thinks, and I can see this, right? Like, that Spectre Cell comes in and these four double taps have just, with Pierce 2, right, even though they're minus one damage, might have enough to just overwhelm them. And man, that'd be awesome if that was true.
That'd be interesting. I mean, you know, I've loved Sentry Droids since they've come out.
Yeah. But
there's also this point of like, well, there's only so much you can do with them.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I mean, the funny thing is the dropping of Vader, I think, makes them really good again.
Yeah.
Because that was their biggest issue, is they just couldn't, they could put enough damage consistently on Vader, and especially on E-Jets back in the day.
Yeah.
Because, like, an E-Jet would be able to kill them basically before they could kill an E-Jet.
Yeah, which is insane.
You couldn't double tap anything because the negative damage was, like, crippling.
Yeah.
It actually might be interesting to see how E-Sentries hold up in a Vaderless world.
On Lothal, which is a good map for them, right? Because they've got crazy range.
Mm-hmm. You're shooting forever. Maybe it's time to bust out the old E-Sentry scum list.
This was the list that JK ran at Denver Regional. And it was double sentries, Hera, right? Like,
yep. I ran a Claudite. I wouldn't run a Claudite again.
Yeah.
Double sentries, Claudite, Hera, so that's 30, and then C-3PO and Gideon.
Yep.
And then an E-Jawa, obviously, to grab all of that.
Yeah.
And then, like, upgrade fillers. So, I think I had Black Market and Devious.
Yeah. And you drop the Claudite and you put in Greedo and you're like, there we go.
Yeah. Well, I was running an E-Claudite even.
Oh,
so you
wow.
drop a Claudite and you put in Hondo or Onar.
Ooh,
and you're,
yeah. I like
you're
that.
You're really set up. Like,
yeah, I do like
I'm
that.
I'm actually going to give this a shot again.
I would
make sure no one runs Vader.
Yeah, nobody runs Vader. Well, Scott's probably just going to be running Spectre, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. Okay, JK, so next 4 months before Worlds, oh my gosh, it's 4 months from today, right? So we've got, because it's December. Man, what? That is like a serendipitous day. A year from our first podcast and 4 months the day before Worlds. What is going to surprise you the most?
What I really hope to surprise me the most is just going to be the lack of Spectre Cell in the top chunk.
Okay.
Like, not the complete lack. Like, I actually genuinely hope that there is, in the top 16, two or three Spectre Cells.
There better be three, right? Like,
yeah.
There better be three.
Like, legitimately, I hope that there are three Spectre Cells because, you know, I think they deserve to be there. Like I know that we hate them and yada, 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 and we're going to cry, but I think they should be there.
Yeah.
What's really going to surprise me the most, there's going to be a unit that really comes out of, like, retirement, whether that's E-Riots or E-Jets, something like that, E-Sentries, like we just talked about, that's going to reemerge. There's so much stuff that we've put on the shelf that we just have not tested anymore.
Yeah.
Because of Spectre.
Yeah.
But as we see, if Spectre is not a thing, then Jets are going to come back because Jets are efficient, are stupid efficient.
Yep.
And they're going to do crazy work on Lethal. And so...
Man, that's true. Jets on Lethal without Spectre Cell is unbelievable, right?
Yeah, they're just going to own what it, like, they can...
It's like Jabba's Palace all over again for them.
Exactly. And so I think that's going to be a surprise. I think, I don't know, that's my first thought. If you have one, and then I can think for a second.
Okay. I think what is going to surprise me the most is going to be that Vader is going to drop off the, I mean, like, I know we're talking about it, but like, it is going to surprise me when Vader drops off of the competitive scene, and that at Worlds next year, there is only going to be maybe one or two Vader lists that make the top 16. That is going to surprise me. And I think the reason is same reason I was surprised that no Palp made top 16, right? Like, you just look at it and you think about the weight that the figure pressed upon the meta for, like, while it was dominant, and you just can't really imagine a world in which that is not a thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that it is going to be something similar, like with Vader. Not to say, like, although the reason why that would surprise me the most is because I don't actually think that's going to happen. But if the arc that we see is actually correct, right, that Lethal is really bad for Vader, and Spectre Cell has just got such a solid answer to Vader that, you know, he can't consistently respond. So then the good players won't run him, and he'll fall away.
Well, and I think it's twofold. I think it's going to be on those smaller maps on Tarkin and Uskru. If people learn how to kill Vader with Spectre, it's gonna hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But especially on Lethal, if you get a bad matchup again, like if you have E Rangers against Palp on Lethal or against Vader on Lethal, it is just tough because Vader has to advance, and if you don't have initiative swing or anything like that, you're just out in the open and you're sort of just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Here's my other thing. I think you're going to see a lot less double regular smugglers.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that's a surprise, but I think you're going to see, I think you're just like the two activation units, like, I think you're going to see just a dearth of two activation units or two cost units in general.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to see our Jawas. We're not going to see, I mean, we might be able to, but there's like, you can do so many things with scum that you don't need our Jawas.
Yeah.
Like 2 points can be spent anywhere else. I think regular officers are going to fall off just because Vader is going to fall off.
Yeah.
And I think regular smugglers are going to fall off because people need extra guns.
Yeah.
And because there's like, outside of Rogue AI, there's not a lot of point getting missions.
Yeah.
I mean, Tarkin's the one that you want a regular smuggler for. And to a lesser extent, Uskru can help you out a little bit, but
not really, right? Like, that's a problem, is that Mos Eisley is the smuggler's best map. And if that goes away, then, like, all the other maps are okay, but just nowhere near as good.
Yeah. So you're going to see 3PO as a two-cost unit, and, like, it legitimately wouldn't... I mean, it's going to be surprising when it hits, but that we just won't see two-cost units abundantly anymore as fodder. We're going to have to, like... Because again, things are stepping up to seven activations that are down from nine, and that's going to be at the cost of regular smugglers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah,
I agree. I'm really interested to see how this regional season shakes out. We're more tuned in than we've ever been. Obviously, like, we've got everybody on the Slack. I know who all the good players are, or like the main players are in terms of like past results in like each of these major regions. Even including in Europe, which is so cool. And I am really, really interested to see how, like, Isaac does with Han Rangers or whatever he runs in England, right, or in the UK.
Yeah.
Alistair's the same way, right? Like, I'm interested to know if he keeps working with Vader. And, like, it's just going to be very, very interesting to see how each of these really good players in their particular meta solves the problems that the current meta is presenting. So
yeah. So Brett talked about this on the Slack today about Jedi Luke. Do you think there is a spot for Jedi Luke?
Here's the problem. I love the idea of Jedi Luke, and I mean, obviously, I played him for two solid months, and kind of got burned against Empire because Jedi Luke without something like Alliance Rangers just doesn't quite have the muscle. Right, the firepower.
Yep.
I mean, I guess Brett's list was one thing, but even I think Brett's like old list, his Han Jedi Knight Luke list, I still think that even kind of struggles a little bit against like the highly tuned Vader list that were that had been running around or that were running around. So, like, all that being said, I love the idea of Jedi Knight Luke working, but I just worry about his consistency, and I don't think he's good on Lothal, right?
Yep.
Like, it's a massive map, and I just don't think there's a ton of value there. I'd love it if I was wrong, right? And I've actually, when he talked about that, I've had this, like, Jedi Knight Luke Jedi list that I've been working on that I would love to make work, but I'm just not sold that it would be very competitive.
Good. Yeah, that's where I am as well. I just don't, like, it's 12 points, which, again, we're in this world where big figures are sliding back in. We have ability for 12 points, but he's going to get killed by, you know, Han E-Rangers on Lothal. He has nowhere to hide.
Yep. He's a less consistent Vader, right? And I don't see how a less consistent Vader is going to, like, make the cut. I love the idea of him making the cut, right? And Brett's like, he's got the chance to kill Kanan or Zeb in three attacks. I'm like, that's true. So does Vader, right? And, you know, it's not clear that his strength, right? His strength is he's got Son of Skywalker. But Vader's strength is that he is kind of like got a mini Son of Skywalker every round. You plan around it, obviously, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, the problem is I haven't been thinking about Luke for months, like 4 or 5 months. So, you know, to think about him coming back into the meta, I just don't really see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the idea, but it's just, he can flub.
Yeah.
He can die.
Yep.
He does die.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, it's where we are, but. Yeah, a man can dream. But again, like, he's essentially the same as, like, him versus Kanan is essentially the same stat pool for in Spectre Cell.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a mini Son of Skywalker with that second attack.
Yep.
And, you know, green, yellow is more consistent than green, blue, yellow.
Yep. Kanan also has a built-in damage, right?
Yep. Yeah. So it's
we'll see. Brett, prove us wrong. We'd love to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
All right, JK. Well, that is awesome. I cannot wait for our tournament, our regional prep tournament, which is going to be in 2.5 weeks. It is going to be awesome.
Yes.
I have
no idea what I'm going to run.
Well, I know what I'm going to run the box, but
yep.
I mean, we'll see if I sub in one or two command cards. Who knows? Ooh, man. That's actually kind of part of my problem right now is, like, I have just, like, what's the word? Settled myself into it. I will call it a rut at this point where I'm like, I feel like I just don't want to run anything besides the box. And I would run Jedi besides Spectre Self. I felt like they could, like, really get it done. But I just have had my heart broken too many times, like, being like, oh, now I'm going to make Jedi. Like, every time a new Jedi figure comes out besides Spectre Self, I'm always like, okay, now I'm going to make him work. And every time my heart gets broken, so.
Well, it's just, I mean, we're still living in an arranged world.
Yeah,
just,
very much.
Lothal does not help that.
Yeah. Lothal is awesome for Ahsoka, right? Because, like, she has got, like, all the benefits of ranged units, except for the fact that she can't attack from range, right? Like, she can threaten from range, but she can't safely threaten from range, so.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. All right, JK, well, again, thank you for coming on.
Anytime, every time.
Happy 1 year anniversary.
1 year?
Yes, indeed. Well,
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Went from 6 people on Slack or whatever to we're up to 250 or something.
Yeah, that's insane. I cannot believe that. We passed 30,000 episodes or 30,000 downloads a while ago, actually, which I it's crazy. I don't know what to say about it other than it's crazy. The community is amazing.
Think about how much time people have wasted listening to us yahoos.
30,000 downloads is approximately 300,000 hours, right, that people have spent listening to our podcast.
Don't you people have something better to do?
No, they don't.
No? Okay. Sorry, neither do we. That's here.
That's exactly right. Oh, man, that's incredible. All right, JK, well, I love you like a brother. Thanks for coming on.
Yep, anytime.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Happy 1 year anniversary. We will be seeing you next week when we are talking to Alfonso, the French national champion. Thanks again, JK.
See ya.